Chapter 2 Julian lived on a wooded 4-acre lot in Newstead, a tiny enclave high above the village, in a long, flat granite and glass house, the brainchild of an architect from Harvard, who, as his scores of critics had charged, harbored a desire to design spaceships. In fact, when Bobby Wakefield entered the great room with its dark red cement floor and gawked at the hanging bubble lamps and soaring concrete fireplace, he asked, "Do the Jetsons live here?" Lucinda said, "Bobby, don't go sassin' nobody." "Yes, ma'am," he said, with a faintly embarrassed smile that made his face the image of Kendall's, and Julian felt such an ache in his chest that he had to turn away. Lucinda said, "Mr. Rose, I'd like to be catching a bus back down to home." "You're welcome to stay. I could buy you a plane ticket tomorrow." "No, sir. Even the Lord mend me to fly, he'd have blessed me with tail feathers." All Julian had uncovered on the ride from the village was that Lucinda and Bobby had taken a Greyhound from Miami to New York, then had ridden two other buses to South Orange. Julian was anxious to talk to Lucinda, but not in front of Bobby. He took the boys' valise and they went up a flight of bleached oak steps to the guest suite. "How'd you know my mother?" Bobby asked. "My father taught at Lovewood College. He's not there now. He passed away." "Your mother, too?"
"Her, too."
He studied the boy, who resembled his mother with his light brown complexion, the flawless symmetry of his features, and hazel eyes.
"We'll get acquainted later. Make yourself at home while I talk to Miss Watkins."
Lucinda stood with a strap of her pocketbook looped over one arm and her coat folded over the other.
"Got me a 9 o'clock bus from New York."
Julian said he'd get her there and persuaded Lucinda to have a cup of tea. He sat across from her on the bench in the breakfast nook.
"Kenny Ann's heart done quit," she said,
stirring her fourth spoonful of sugar in her cup.
"Doc Franklin say it was a bad valve, born with it. I used to look after Bobby and Kenny Ann be going on about you while we's waiting on the ambulance. She told me where to find your address and the money to come and said you'd do right by Bobby." "I will."
Lucinda glowered at him, her eyes hard and black as coal. Julian couldn't blame her for not trusting him. History has a habit of telling everyone's fortune. At the Chicken Nest in South Orange Village, Julian bought Lucinda sliced barbecue chicken on poppy seed rolls, a quart of potato salad, an apple pie, and a six-pack of ginger ale. They argued about whether she'd accept the food as Julian drove through the Lincoln Tunnel. Bobby sat in the back seat of the Thunderbird without speaking until Julian reached Port Authority. Lucinda turned, instructing Bobby to do like he'd been told, and Bobby put his arms around her neck and said, "I promise." Julian hopped out of the car and held out the shopping bag to Lucinda.
"Not used to a white man worrying if and I got what to eat."
She opened her pocketbook, withdrew a manila envelope, and handed it to Julian.
"A rich man like you ought to be smart enough to know he ain't got to go believing everything he read."
After Lucinda took the bag and disappeared inside the station, Julian got into the Thunderbird and wedged the envelope under the sun visor.
"Come up front," he said to Bobby.
The boy climbed into the bucket seat.
"You hungry?" Julian asked,
inching in front of a city bus.
"No, sir."
Julian was wondering why Lucinda had warned him about the contents of the envelope when Bobby said,
"My father died in the war."
"I'm sorry.
Were you in the war?"
"World War II, yes."
"Not that war," Bobby said. "Mom told me my father was at Pork Chop Hill."
"That was a battle in Korea."
"I know. I saw the movie with my mom."
Bobby rested his head on the back of the seat, saying nothing, and by the time Julian pulled into his garage, Bobby was asleep. His daughter Holly had been gone for over a year, and Julian had forgotten the joyousness of carrying a sleeping child, their weight and warmth filling you with wonder at your power to protect and to love. Julian sat Bobby on the bed, helped him off with his shoes and clothes, tucked him under the quilt, and kissed his cheek.
"Are we home?" Bobby murmured.